I'm gonna put all the blame on Clarence.
No, never.
How dare you say that about me?
I am lady.
There's a certain part of me that's like I am a power bottom.
Yeah, I mean, like, who doesn't love the attention?
I mean, it's a compliment at the end of the day.
Yeah. Guys, those are things that are, like, subtle. At least with dying, know they're gonna kill you. But at least it's, like, very, like, up front in your face.
You wanna get noticed? Take it off.
Hola, bienvenidos a Gay al Punto.
Hello. This is Gay to the Point, where we're just two gay guys talking about everything and anything.
Anyone. In a not so straight fashion.
And here am I, the demonic himself, Antonio.
That really hurt my voice, Clarence.
So here we are, season two. Let's get it going.
Season two. It's like, it seems like season one was so long ago, like a month and a half ago.
I know. But, you know, in this kind of pandemic times, I just feel like that is a really long time. A month and a half. There's like nothing really to do in between then.
Well, what were you doing in between then?
I was doing a lot of things. Actually, no. Well,
you were editing season one.
I was.
We used to have a very strict production schedule. We're just like, season one, bam, edit it, and bam, season two, bam, we're gonna quit.
Exactly. You know, we just don't want to be like one of those other content producers out there, and I'm gonna name drop it because I feel like, and people might get controversial about it, but I believe that I don't want to become one of those content producers who just makes content for the sake of content, which is Ryan Murphy.
Ooh. Oh yeah. No, but I mean, at the same time, if you're Ryan Murphy and they showed up your door being like, write us another TV show and we'll pay you $5 million. Would you be like, oh no, I'm like exhausted, like creatively? Or would you just be like, yes, give me that $5 million?
Yeah, but I mean, it depends on the price amount. But I feel like not all of the projects and things that like he made are based out of like, you know, people giving him money.
I mean, I would assume he gets paid a lot of money.
Well, yeah, but they're not gonna like come up to you like for a pitch. They're not coming up to him to be like, hey Ryan Murphy, I really feel like I need this on my television right now, here's $2 million.
I feel like they are.
No, I thought that like you have to like create like the concept first and then like people will have to buy into it.
I almost feel like where he is at in his career, this is just an assumption, I feel like where he's at in his career is people assume that whatever he makes is going to make money. So I feel like he's at the point where it's not like he has to pitch ideas to other people. I feel like the thing is people seek him out because they know that if he's directing it or if he's involved, that it's going to reach a certain amount of popularity.
Yeah.
But which is where we're headed.
We're the next Ryan Murphys.
I'm Ryan. He's Murphy.
And together we are
Ryan Murphy. Murphy.
Having a Nemo face, baby. Does it ruin your life or does it, baby?
Does it what?
Anyway, so what do you, let's like define first, because we normally had problems before about what words mean.
Right. So if you listen to season one, we had no idea what the words we were talking about meant.
Yeah. But then like maybe let's define for ourselves, what is an emo?
What is an emo? Like an emoji? I feel like the emo for me just brings back that idea of that type of person that you had in high school. Like things, it wasn't like goth, but it was like, it was like a more like digestible version of goth. Like it's almost like, you know, scene hair, dark, maybe there's some like Asian influences, so you're into manga. Yeah. But I don't think it was like goth in terms of like, I don't think that the music was necessarily like goth type music. I feel like it was more like punk.
Do you feel like there's like an aggressiveness between, or there's a difference between goth and like emo, and it's maybe because of like maybe aggression? Because in my mindset, I feel like
goth was actually like a thing from like earlier.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that is referencing the gothic scene. Like there's like the gothic architecture in like Barcelona and Spain.
Again, we have no idea what we're talking about.
But this is why we're defining it for you.
Right.
So to me, I felt like it is, you know, a little bit. It's actually great that you brought up the point of like a goth, because like I feel like they are two completely different kinds of creatures. Mm-hmm. But I feel like what distinguishes, at least in my personal opinion, is like an emo is someone who is definitely more in like the sadder, angstier kind of side of their emotions. Well, I feel like gothic has a little bit of that, but it's more so like aggressive and like wants to be like more out front and blunt about like spreading their darkness.
I feel like the thing is, like, I don't know whether or not it, like, without either of us being either goth or emo, I feel like it's kind of hard to define these things like for other people.
That's true.
But just at the same time, the thing that just like, again, like the thing that comes in my head is just like the girl who walks with her toes like pigeon toed.
Really? Emo. Do you think that's emo? I feel like that's like shyness.
Well, that's also an Asian thing too. Apparently, like, because apparently somebody told me that like girls and like girls who really like follow like mangas and stuff like that used to walk pigeon toed. I think Sean told me that because maybe she used to do it.
Oh.
But she's also like borderline. I feel like the thing is like she's really into scene hair. She used to do that.
Right.
I feel like she could kind of fall into that category. And I feel like the thing is like even though it was like not necessarily somebody necessarily described about themselves and like just the generation that we grew up with, that was such a prevalent thing.
Okay, so like you feel like emo people still have scene hair? Or,
well, that's just what I associate to it. Whatever scene hair means to you or whatever you think about when you think about emo hair, like there is a very particular style of hair that I feel like goes with it.
Right.
I feel like there's like a particular style of dress, and there's also like kind of a particular style of like music that you listen to and just like general like outlook that you have. And I feel like it's just like, yeah, kind of like, like, I don't know, shy, somber, I don't know.
Well, I have a lot of questions about this topic. So it's like,
I feel like you're the one who is more emo than I was probably in high school.
Yeah, I probably was. But
why do you have questions for me?
Because you're not the one who's asking any questions right now. What's it called? So why do you feel like it's prevalent more in emo phase in like teenagers? Do you think it's because like high school is like that melding pot of like this like what's that thing, soon to be movies, what's it called,
coming of age?
Oh yeah, coming to theaters near you. Yeah, coming of age stories of like high school, and like there's just so many like different kinds of like pheromones and emotions and whatever that happens in there. So like, do you feel like, like, why do you feel like it's more prominent that they happen in teenagers?
I don't know. I feel like, well, okay, no, I feel like I kind of do know. I don't know. I think that's just, like, the way that we dealt with our emotions back in the day. Because, obviously, high school is a very, like, hormonal period of your time.
Right.
You become, I feel like the thing is, for me, how I describe it is, like, you become immediately very aware of, like, a whole other world that you weren't aware of before, which is, like, socially and, like, sexuality. Right. Like, before puberty, before all that kind of stuff, everything was a lot simpler because it was just, like, social. Like, it was just, like, okay, yeah, like, you talk to these people, you don't like some other people, whatever.
Right.
But then you add sex on top of it.
Bam!
Bam! Now it's confusing. You're just being, like, okay, now that actually, like, it really matters. Like, who do I like? Who doesn't like me? And stuff like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just, like, now another layer added onto your, like, social interactions with everyone. Mm. And, like, your hormones and your, like, puberty and your sexuality. Or, like, you know, being, like, what do you think? Non-sexual?
Asexual?
Asexual. But somebody also said that it was, like, aces? I don't know.
I thought Asus is, like, a computer brand.
No.
Asus. A-S-U-S.
Yeah, sometimes, like, you just grow up and you realize, like, oh, my God, I'm a computer brand.
Exactly.
But no, like, I feel like that, like, yeah, either way, like, you just become either, like, aware of how you don't have, like, if you're not feeling, like, as sexually developed as other people, you just become aware of your peers being that way. And right. It's just a very difficult time to, like, navigate, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because it's, like, actually, that's a really good point, especially I feel like in high school, like, there is, like, the, everyone hits, like, puberty, like, at a different certain time in, like, those 5 years, or in middle school if you're, like, 3 or whatever. I don't know. In America, you're different, but we're not talking about that. But, like, you know, like, it peaks at different, like, levels for everyone. So, you, like, I like how you pointed out, like, you see the comparison between yourself, and then also you start developing, like, doubt. I feel like that's, like, high school is also, like, the first, like, scenarios of your life when you start to develop doubt.
Yeah, well, like, self-awareness.
Yeah.
Like, just being, like, aware that, like, other people, like, I do, or, like, feeling shame or guilt or, like embarrassment.
Right.
Whereas, like, young kids, like, yeah, they can feel kind of embarrassed about, like, quite extreme things. But, like, it's almost like when you become, like, a preteen or when you start to hit puberty in that age, it's, like, you can become, like, embarrassed about literally everything.
Right.
Like, oh, my God, I just said hi to him. Like, why did I just say hi? Like, why didn't I say, like... sup. You know what I mean?
That's really, like, old lingo.
I mean, I am really old lingo, okay? I don't know what these kids are talking about nowadays when they're... what do they say?
I don't know. I feel like everything's through emojis now, so they don't have to say anything. So, like, down to the nitty-gritty, did you have an emo phase?
No, I don't think I did. And I also I think that I, like, rejected the idea of, like, being emo.
And look, so where it's got to you now. Now you're, like, suffering in your emo phase in your adult life.
Yeah, you gotta delay it, like, to, like, when it makes a difference.
But it doesn't make a difference.
Yeah, you just gotta bottle. See, the problem with the kids is just you don't express your emotions or you don't feel your emotions. You just gotta suppress your emotions until you're 29 years old and you're depressed and you wanna, like, and then you're suicidal. Like, that's the way that you go.
That is truer words, none spoken by the great emo himself.
Yeah. The 29-year-old emo.
Really? You felt like you had to, like, reject it in, like, high school?
No, it's not, like, I didn't reject it because I'm suppressing my emotions. I just definitely felt like I was, like, emotional as a kid. But I think the thing is, or I had angst and I had all those, like, awkward teenage things that just happen.
Right.
But, like, the reality of the situation is, like, when, well, at least this is my identity as when I was in high school, was I rejected being a part of, like, other groups. Like, I was not interested in, like, identifying a certain way. And that's, I feel like, the funny thing, especially I was watching this thing about, I think it was, like, this feature on, like, some stupid talk show on ABC or something like that, where the talk show host was interviewing kids who were emo, and they're just like, oh, like, why do you want to be emo and stuff like that? And it's just like, you know, because I just, like, love death and, like, you know, like, happy is just not who I am. And blah. And then also just being like, you know, like, I feel like all you guys look the same. Like, none of you guys are individual. And I'm just like, well, does it really fix the problem if you're just joining into the bandwagon of, like, being emo and looking like everyone else who's emo?
Right.
Is that individuality? No.
Right.
So that, like, to me, that's what I feel like. I was not specifically rejecting emo, but I could see the hypocrisy of just being, like, claiming that you're trying to find yourself or you're trying to find your individuality by subscribing to a specific way of being that other people are as well. Is that individuality? So that's the reason for me why I rejected that. I don't feel like you did, because I feel like you love conformity. You love being influenced by other people. You love just, like... You know, just like, ooh, let me fit in. You know, let me be straight. Let me be on the football team.
Oh, yeah. I had so many different phases when I was in high school. I was, like, a footballer for 1 year. Then I was, like, a band geek for, like, 3 years. And then I joined, like, the anime, emo, punk rock group and stuff for a bit. Then, like, I joined, like, the gay club. But, like, even though we never knew that we were gay.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, sexuality is a spectrum.
Yeah.
And, like... Everyone's a little bit gay.
But going back to, like, the whole conformity thing, like, yeah, like, totally. Sorry, I was, like,
thinking, like, sexuality is a spectrum of being gay. Everyone is gay. And some people are just a little bit less gay, but everyone's gay.
I mean, we would like to think that. But actually, like, I was actually going to, like, ask, it's like, you know, do you also feel like there is a correlation between being gay and, like, emo-ness or emo or whatever? Because I feel like, at least for in my own personal experience, it's like, I knew I was feeling, like, the angst and... What was the other thing you said?
Hormones?
Yeah, I was feeling the angst and the hormones in high school because, like, I was also dealing with, like, you know, my own question and self-identity, whether or not to, like, be as gay. Because I know I had, like gay, like,
so what made you stop being gay?
Hmm?
What made you stop being gay then?
I didn't. I just was, like, suppressing it. But, like, I feel like, do you feel like there's a correlation between, like, yeah, like, if you were, like, a young gay teen and then, like, also having to suppress your angst and and hormones, so that made you emo?
Well, I just think that it adds another layer of, like, something that you don't know how to deal with. Mm. So, like, on top of, like, hormones and, like, angst and all that kind of stuff, if you're going to add, like, oh, my sexuality doesn't fit in with everyone else's and I have, like, no like, outlets to express that, mm-hmm. that's just another layer on top of the mess that is being, like, a teen.
Right.
A preteen or teen or whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, in that way, I feel like then you could just be, like, it's another reason to look for things that where you could try to find your place or fit in.
Right.
And I think to a degree, too, because, like, a lot of the people who are, like, emo... Or, like, those kinds of groups of people within high school are usually the misfits. So they're a little bit more, like, accepting of those weird things. Like, it's not just being, like, you know, if you had all those things, it's not being, like, oh, I'm going to try to fit in with the popular kids. Like, no, you know that's, like driving yourself off the cliff. Like, that's not going to work.
Right. It's almost like, you know, being part of, like, that emo group. It's, like, it's like the fringe of high school.
Well, I guess it's rest. Like rebellion to like the mainstream.
Right.
And I think, yeah, like I could still kind of see that, but I feel like it's just like, but maybe that's just the approach that I have in terms of just being like asking myself like.
Well, you just don't like labels. That's why.
Yeah. I don't really like being like, oh, I really don't like being able to be like identified as being like a type. Like you love that. You love being hipster.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like that's causing you all your problems because you don't know who you are.
Who yeah, probably.
Are you? Who? But anyways, going back to like the emo topic, like I just feel like maybe like what would be your advice to teens in who are experiencing an emo phase now?
Okay, but that's the thing though. It's like this is like part of what I feel like is so special about that time. Even though I'm just like, yeah, I can have my opinions about it. Stemming from when I was at the age where an emo phase was possible. But the reality of the situation is kids don't have an emo phase now. That's not a thing.
Really?
I don't think so. I think they have other problems, but it's like it manifests itself in such a different way, I feel like.
Actually, you know what? I've been like, that's actually a pretty good point. I've been like, I always love coming of age, like movies and stories and stuff like that, because I feel like I just identify it with it a lot
because you're still coming of age.
I'm still coming of age.
You haven't arrived at the age, you're still coming.
I'm coming, here I am,
I'm coming.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Coming of age.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Coming of age.
I don't know the lyrics of this song, but I am still coming because I'm coming around the mountain when she comes.
Coming of age.
UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly.
Uh-huh.
You ugly.
Uh-huh.
UGLY, you think you're pretty, but you ain't. Cause you ugly.
Uh-huh.
You ugly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so being ugly builds character. Do you feel like that's true?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. I actually don't really know. I think that's like something that I tell myself to like feel better about being ugly.
Like being ugly in what sense? Because that can be like in a superficial sense or like what? In like a behavior, psychological sense or.
No, I think I'm just talking about physical.
Oh, okay. Cool. I thought I'd mean like the other way.
I feel like mostly when people are talking about being ugly, they're talking about like in a physical sense.
Oh.
Do you feel like not? Do you feel like, did you, when you read that, like, when you thought about, like, being ugly builds character, do you also think that, like, having an ugly personality builds character? I mean, it makes you a character, but I don't know if it builds a character
well,
for
it's
you.
It's building a character.
So no, it's already made.
Well, I was thinking.
Your character is an ugly person.
That's why. And it's, like, a character still. But I feel like it's, I was actually thinking of both. When I was thinking about this topic of, like, being ugly builds character, I was like, yeah, like, two things that came to my mind. My one thing is, like, I always believe that, like, if you don't, like, be able to make fun of yourself and show, like, kind of your ugly sides, then you don't really see who you are truly, potentially.
You don't understand who you are.
Or you don't understand who you are. And that can
Or you're not accepting of who you are.
Yeah, totally. Because, like, everyone has all the sides. And then the other one of, like, being ugly in terms of, like, behavior and psychologically is, like, to me, it's, like, yeah, I think, like, that is also part of that what I said, like, trying to figure out who yourself are because, like, you have
to. Yourself are.
Who yourself are. Because it's, like, I don't know, you have to
Now that
find...
I become who I really are, this is the part where I'm ugly.
Yeah, Ariana Grande, be uglier.
She was not that good looking when she was younger.
That's true.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if it was surgery or she just lost weight.
Maybe she lost both. But I was going to say, it's like, yeah, in terms of like ugly behavior, I feel like not to do it always consistently, but I do know that like to realize when you have gone to that place of bad behavior, to know that that is also a limit that you can do, but and stuff, and like to acknowledge that that is an awareness that like is like, oh well, I know that I can actually come off as a bitch, or know that I can actually like be like a very mean person.
I feel like you're just talking about from your own personal experience of being a bitch and being a mean person.
Exactly.
And you just want to believe that that built character for you.
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, I learned from my mistakes.
I don't know. Like, I feel like the thing is, that's definitely not the intention of like when I was like thinking about this. But
okay, what was the original thing of?
No, I think the thing is, like, I never thought about it in terms of, like, maybe having, like, an ugly personality and stuff like that, like, builds character. Mm-hmm. But I guess the thing is, what builds character is mistakes. And being mean and having an ugly personality and stuff like that and being aware that you do builds character.
Right.
If you're always just, like, a nice person through and through.
People will see that you're fake.
Yeah, the character is already established.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that it's fake, but it's this character is already established and therefore the character didn't develop. The character was not built, you know, but I think the thing is, it's like through making mistakes, through being like a questionable person or whatever, that you find who you want, like you find a side of yourself that maybe you're not, you don't want to be.
Right.
It's there, but yeah. You just don't want to be that.
But I actually feel like that's totally true. Like, I always believe that, like, the greatest learning is, like, finding out the things that, like, actually aren't the things that you want to do for yourself. Like, the bad things and the mistakes and stuff. Like, I feel like that is actually the more greater learning to build character rather than trying to, like, you know, always
be a... have always been a good person.
Yeah.
I feel like it is, like, it's one of those things that's, like, you're confronting the darkest sides of yourself.
Mm, right.
Or if we're going to be, like, not racially inclusive, sometimes the lightest side of yourself. Dark does not always mean bad. So.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. It doesn't. Yeah. Darkness is actually a good thing. That's what we're trying to say in this little segment.
So the lightest side of, confronting the lightest side of yourselves, aka the worst side of yourself. But I think, like, in terms of just, like, being, like, ugly in terms of, like, the physical sense.
Mm-hmm.
Of just being like, well, feeling that like that spilled character is just like another thing. Like, it's like, well, adversity, I guess. You know what I mean? Being an outcast, being pretty like it's like, or having like another obstacle, say for example, because I feel like, I guess when you're pretty, it just like
things get handed to you
a little bit more,
right?
And I don't know, because that's an assumption, because I consider myself not pretty,
right?
So I'm assuming that people who are prettier get like things. So I feel like the thing is, like, in my head, being pretty does come with those privileges. I was also watching like this other thing where fucking what's his face, Chris Pratt.
Oh.
When he was younger, he wasn't like,
he was chubby.
When he was younger, he wasn't so chubby.
Right.
And then he got chubby for whatever that TV show was.
I don't know. But I know like he wasn't for Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, he got skinny for that.
Yeah.
He got muscular for that.
Yeah.
But there was an in-between period where he was fat. But when he was younger, he wasn't so fat. And like some guy just gave him free headshots.
Oh.
Because they thought that he was like, oh, do you look like a model and stuff
right.
like that.
And I'm just, that's like gross.
That
yeah.
kind of stuff just doesn't happen to people who are not that attractive.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And I think the thing is, but at the same time, having that kind of, not obstacle in your way, but, or just having the obstacle that every regular person has to face, like, it makes you have to work a little bit harder.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's true. And I believe in the fact too that like pretty people do get a slightly upper hand on the world and stuff. Like, I think like I don't consider myself as a pretty person, but I like in my fantasy to know like, well, I'm pretty my own way. But in the end,
I mean, like people say so. Do you feel like you've ever gotten anything? Well, I guess the question is, do you feel like you've ever gotten anything because somebody was like attracted to you?
Like, got it in terms of what?
No, like, in terms of, like, whether or not, like, something has been given to you, not based off of merit, but based off of their attraction to you, or based off of whether or not, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think in my honest opinion, like, yeah, I feel like I definitely have a couple instances.
Which, explain.
The only thing comes to my head, but I feel like this is more of not based on attraction, but I feel like because, yeah, I guess it is terms of like the pretty spectrum. Like, say for like that job that I got for being the face of BC elections.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I didn't really want that job or necessarily looked out for it, but then the guy who, like, this older guy who was like.
Was he gay?
No, he had a wife and straight. Oh. But like,
I mean, that doesn't mean that he's not gay.
That's true. But like, secretly he might be. But anyways, like he like hired me and looked for me because of my look. Mm. And I feel like it's like that can sense also the base of like, oh yeah, because there's other people who are also like Filipino or people of color who don't look like me that could have got the job too.
Right.
But like,
but maybe you're more like a like commercially appealing version of the ethnic that they needed to fill that spot.
Totally. And that's what I felt like I was.
Right.
Like I was like typecasted into that. And I felt like, yeah, I was like happy about that job and thankful for it because it gave me really quick, easy money. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, like I wouldn't see it if like, you know, some other person who is not the general standards of beauty who is also a person of color to get that job as well.
Right. Like that might not happen to the average person.
Yeah.
I think that's like the thing that's like kind of hard for me to say is like, even though like you can, like if you're looking back at it, like I feel like the thing is if you're being honest with yourself, you can recognize that.
Yeah, no, totally. Like, fortunately I was blessed with like good cheekbones.
I feel like you really were.
Thank you.
Like, even though like Rena jokes about it, I feel like she would really like to have sex with you.
Ew, don't say that. That's gross.
But I feel like even like my mom has said so too about like just being like, oh yeah, like Antonio's really handsome. I'm just like, what does that make me then? Feel like the thing is like, do you think that that's happened to you more than once?
In terms of just like gay sexual attraction?
Yeah, just that kind of like, oh, it's fucking on.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's only, I feel like it's only, like, and that's the thing is, I feel like it's only happened to me once.
With who?
It was in Brazil.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the scenario? And who was? And
it was like, so I was in a hostel or whatever, and then this, like, there was this guy, and he was, I think he was already with somebody in that hostel.
Yeah.
But I was just, it was in Ipanema, and I was just like, I just checked in, and then as I was checking into my room, like he was still like there and he just looked at me and I just looked at him and I was like, I've never felt what it's like to be for it to be like on
but this is what it is. Right. Like, it's right. on. It's yeah. fucking on.
And you guys did it.
Yeah. Nice. I gave him a blowjob while everyone else was in the room.
Woohoo! Yeah.
Thank you.
This is what pornos are made of.
Yeah. But yeah, like that was like the one time where I just felt like this immediate sexual attraction.
Right.
Or it wasn't even like sexual attraction on my part.
It was on their
end. It was like it was on their end. It was the receiving end of their immediate sexual attraction. I never felt what that was like. And that was like, honestly, it was like such a good feeling.
Right.
You know, to be appreciated in that kind of way. At the same time, I feel like it was just in that moment nice to just be like, yeah.
But I guess like, yeah, in terms of like, you know.
But not, I think that's the thing though, is like not everyone can have that. Like,
I feel like in terms of that specific scenario, like, I think so. I feel like you're right. I don't think that like that specific scenario of someone wanting you on the spot based on like just like what you look like and giving you what you want based on what you look like, I don't think that for everyone can happen. But I feel like it does, that similar feeling can happen in different degrees of it. And maybe ways of like not specifically based off of your looks, but maybe like what you were talking about, like in terms of like
being charming in a different way,
your personality, yeah. whatever, and other things that isn't just because you're pretty or handsome or whatever.
Yeah, I think, well, there's like a multitude of ways to feel appreciated or right. to feel attractive, I think.
Yeah.
And like Patty Stanger from Millionaire Matchmaker
okay.
says, like somebody was asking her, is like, what do you do if you're like a 7? And her response was, I don't believe in those number systems. Anyone can be a 10. And I love that idea. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, it's about figuring out for you what makes you a fucking 10. And that could be a combination of you working on like your physical appearance. It could be a combination of you working on your personality. It could be a combination of you working on like making yourself interesting, making your like having a like bigger intellect, bigger, more experience, like all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Whatever being a 10 is to you, like those like that hierarchy is all like, to a degree, it's all in your mind.
Right.
So I feel like there's that. Like if you feel like you're like a 7, there's like, you know what? There is going to be a time in your life where you feel like a fucking 10.
Yeah.
No, totally. You know what I mean? Yeah, like yeah. you just got a promotion. You just did whatever. And that's the thing that you should go after to feel like a fucking 10. Mm. You know?
But I feel like even like what you're saying, like the fact that like you have to kind of dig deeper into yourself, into what you really want to like surpass like the superficialness of being like pretty or whatever and stuff like that, like that's like building character because you're being introversion.
Is that a word? Introspective.
Introspective, sorry. That's the word. Introspective about yourself in terms of like what actually is the things that you actually kind of like long for and crave for that actually holds truer meaning. And that's not to say for those people out there, like I guess like for people out there who feel like they're
are superficial, who are shallow, you are just shallow.
Yeah, and like that's okay too, then you be not in the deep end,
son. You're in the shallow. You're in the shallow now.
Exactly.
You are shallow. Na 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 shallow. You are shallow now.
But yeah, I just want to say thank you for always trying to listen to us, even though we don't try at all. So
I do feel like I do try.
Really?
Right.
But yeah, we're saying goodbye to 2020, and along with our fears and sadness, and
I'm not saying goodbye to those things. You know how I feel about it. Or you know the doubts that I have about the quality of our own podcast.
Wow, you're so rude. I feel like the quality is really good. Anyways,
nothing is said or set
or
sent
in
stone.
Ooh, how come I still got the bad words?
Because I'm a genius.